Good morning. Today's daf in Chagiga Yud Gimel. We're on Yud Beis Amud Beis. We're five lines from the bottom of the Amud. We're going to be starting with the words Sham Ofanim Usrafim B'Chayas HaKadosh. So it's, you know, over there. So obviously over there, over where. So we're talking about the Zayin Rekiyim. There are seven levels going up. Okay. We are discussing Maaseh Breishis and why. So I just heard Phil articulate the question. Why are we here? So to the answer to that question, so it goes back to our Mishnah. Our Mishnah, the opening of the second parak of the Masechta, Ein Dorshin Ba'arayos. So if you're going to be teaching a Rayo, so you have to have a class size of no greater than two. So if you have three students already, that's too big a class. So we already explained, and why is the Mishnah even bringing that up? Meaning we're learning Chagiga right now. Why is that in the course of our conversation? So it happens to be that the Mishnah at the end of the first parak, so talked about a Rayos in terms of how much of it is Torah Shebechsav, how much of it is Torah Shebapeh, and the blending of Torah Shebechsav and Torah Shebapeh. That was the last Mishnah in the first parak. So, as a segue, say, Enachinami, we are off topic. We're no longer discussing Chagiga, but once we discussed Arayos and whether it's part of Torah Shebechsav, whether it's part of Torah Shebapeh, or is it blended? So then we talked about when teaching Arayos, so what can your class size be? So no greater than two. And just as a quick summary of Yud Aleph Amud Beis, the reason why the Gemara spent some time trying to explain it, but the Gemara concluded that it has to do with the fact that we have a strong Yetzer Hara for Arayos. It's probably our strongest. And if you are in a class size too large, so you may miss a point here or there. And if you're missing a point, so then it's going to be easy to rationalize the behavior because you just simply didn't learn it well. As I pointed out when we learned the daf, you could learn it well as well and still have a strong Yetzer Hara. In fact, we do have a strong Yetzer Hara, but to be ill-informed and to not know it well, so that's why the class size has to be so small. And then there are two other disciplines that are discussed in the Mishnah. One is Maaseh Breishis, and the other one is Maaseh Merkava. Today, we're going to transition from Maaseh Breishis to Maaseh Merkava. So when teaching Maaseh Breishis, so how many people could be in your classroom? So only one. So it's got to be a one-on-one, one Rebbe, one Talmud. Okay. And then when Maaseh Merkava, so what is your class size going to be? So it's going to be zero. Now, that's a funny class, by the way. And I would have a hard time justifying it at my job. You know, give me a class size of zero. What? And I'm going to pay you for that, of course. In other words, I'm just following the Mishnah when teaching Maaseh Merkava. So later on this morning, so we're going to try to understand a little bit better. What does that mean? How can, right? I didn't ask the question when we did the Mishnah, but it's obvious. In other words, what does that mean? You're having a class size of nobody. That's not a class. That's not teaching. Okay, so. So stay tuned. We're gonna understand that a little bit better in the course of today's daf. But in the meantime, however, so we're right now in the topic of Maaseh Breishis. So when discussing Maaseh Breishis, so you have to it can be a classroom that exceeds no more than one. Okay, so Maaseh Breishis. So what is Maaseh Breishis? So that is a fantastic question. So it's discussing the limits of creation, both in time and space. And when we say the limits, meaning that when discussing time, so you can go all the way back, you can even go back to the days of creation, meaning the Gemara for a moment had a Havamina. I can only go to the beginning of Brias Adam HaRishon on Friday, but no, you can actually go back to Sunday. And you can go back to Sunday and you can explain what happened from Sunday to Friday. Now, I say this as if it's easy to explain. In other words, I don't know Maaseh Breishis the way the Gemara is presenting over here. And in yesterday's daf and today's daf, the beginning of today's daf, so we're going to be treated to a little bit of a description of Maaseh Breishis in ways that are intelligible to us. Well, I'll speak for myself. No, not in ways that are intelligible to us, but in other words, there is something to at least outline and describe. Not that we're going to gain understanding in the manner in which they had understanding, but at least we'll have something to work with. We'll have at least, we'll know how to talk, even though we don't know exactly what we're saying. So that's going to be the beginning of today's daf. And then in today's daf, we're going to transition. And we're going to go from Maaseh Breishis to we're going to go to Maaseh Merkava. Okay. And when we get to Maaseh Merkava, I'll introduce it more there. Anyway, by Maaseh Breishis, so what do we learn? We learned the limits going up, meaning Aretz. So we are standing on Aretz right now. That's Shemayim Ve'aretz. Now, what about Shemayim? So Shemayim, we head upwards. So we go into our, yesterday I described it as an elevator. Everyone, please understand. I'm saying that allegorically. Oh, we all know that. It's obvious. So we go into an elevator, and there are seven floors in which going up. So in those seven floors going up, so we gave a description of those seven floors going up. So yesterday, a list, by the way, just in terms of yesterday, one more word of introduction. I'm almost 5 minutes in. Okay. One more word of introduction from yesterday, and yesterday was a bunch of lists. So yesterday, we talked about the 10 building blocks of creation. That was on the Amud Aleph, right? Asara Dvarim Nivru B'Yom Rishon. On the first day, Kadosh Baruch Hu created 10 things, and we went through the 10 items, 10 building blocks of creation. Good. That was one list that we went through yesterday. The tools that Kadosh Baruch Hu used in order to create, that we also went through yesterday as well, that was also in Yud Beis Amud Aleph. And then on Yud Beis Amud Beis of yesterday's daf, we went through the Zayin Rikiyim. So we went through the 7 firmaments going up. So in other words, again, just it's a way to have for us to have an outline and a framework of understanding. And that is that as you're going upwards in Shamayim, there are 7 levels going upwards. Yes, the Gemara in today's daf is going to give us actual linear measurements in terms of how to get from the distance from one to the other. But again, none of this has to be understood literally and probably not to be understood literally. But at least there is a framework in which it's described. So in yesterday's daf, we went through all 7 levels, and we described what is situated in each one of the 7 levels. Sun, moon, and stars are situated in level number 2. That's that by name is called the Rakia, right? Even though we call it the Zayin Rakiyim, but the word Rakia is actually specific to the 2nd level. And then we went all the way up to the 7th. On the 7th, you have the Kisei HaKavod. Okay, now, Sham, over there. So now we know that where are we geographically? And I don't mean on a map, but I'm just saying within this framework of the Gemara. So we're on level number 7. So Sham, so what am I going to find over there? And we're now picking up where we left off yesterday. We're on Yud Beis Amud Beis. We're 5 lines from the bottom. Sham, Ofanim, Visrafim, V'chayos HaKodesh, Malachi HaSharis. So you're going to be finding an assortment of Malachim. Okay, different names describing different types of Malachim. V'kisa HaKavod, Melech Kel Chayv Ram V'nisa Shochein Aleihem. And you're going to have the Kisei HaKavod also situated over there on level 7. Now, how do I know that that's part and parcel of Shemayim? So, Asya Rechiv Rechiva. So we learn it via Xerishav. Ksiv Hacha Sol Rochiv by Ravos. Uksiv Hasim Rochiv Shemayim Be'ezrecha. Vechoshech Vanan Verafel Mekifin Oso. Sorry. Be'ezrecha, period. Now, more description. Vechoshech Vanan Verafel Mekifin Oso. So here we are now in level 7, and this is, again, in the Gemara's construct, this is going to be the most spiritual realm. We are on the highest level, so we are in the most spiritual realm. So here we are by the Malachim, we are by the Kisei HaKavod, and there's going to be darkness and clouds and Arafel, and it's going to be encircling. Shenemar, Yashest Choshech Sisro Sivosav, Sukaso Chashchas Mayim, Avei Shechakim, Umi Ika Chashchakam Ishmaya. Now the Gemara here is bothered. Is there choshech by where it's more proximate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And I do, and I'm hesitant as I say proximate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because I make it sound as if there's some space to talk about over here, and I know I'm repeating myself. I'm sorry for being repetitive about this point, but I think it's really important, and that is that I say it in terms of space, not because it really is space, but this is just a construct in which the Gemara is giving us to us. So the Gemara says, is there really choshech on that level? The Aksiv, the Pasuk says, Hu gala amikasa umisatra yada ma bechashucha v'nahora imei shari. So the pasuk in Daniel, it's Aramaic, so it's a little bit difficult to translate. But basically, the idea is that there is light and there is no darkness. So the Gemara says lokasha habavate gavai habavate barai. So it depends on which residence we're talking about, the outside residence or the inside residence. Now in the seventh level, so there are two places to be. There's interior and there's exterior. Again, it's a construct. It's just a way for us to talk. So in the interior, so that's Nahora. That's light. So there is no darkness over there. But by the exterior, there is in fact darkness. Okay. The Amar of Acher by Yaakov, Od Rekia Echad Yesh Lamala Mirosh Echayos. Okay, so there's one more Rekia. If you will, this is kind of like the roof, so to say. And basically what it is some sort of ice cap. Okay, if I could try to give us an imagery to understand it, not because it actually is an ice cap, but again, it's just a way to describe it. Okay, and now what did we just get to? We got to the limits. Okay, so now, when teaching Maisa Bereishis, okay, so we now know what are the upper limits of Maisa Bereishis. So you can explain now the Rekiyas, the 7 of them. You can even go all the way up to the cap that's on top of the 7th Rekia, and that's it. Meaning from that point going forward, no more. Ad kan yesh lecha reshus ledaber. Mikan ve'elech ein lecha reshus ledaber. You can't go beyond that point in time. You can't go above that. That is now going to be your limit. So we gave limits in terms of time. That was yesterday's daf. And we just gave limits in terms of space. Now, Shekein Kasa B'Sefer Ben Sira. In fact, I'm going to say for you a pasuk from Sefer Ben Sira. Which Sefer in Tanakh is it? That's a trick question. It is not a Sefer in Tanakh. So Ben Sira was written sometime during either end of Bayis Rishon, beginning of Bayis Sheni. It didn't make it into canon. It did not become part and parcel of Tanakh. The Gemara quotes it pretty regularly, on a number of occasions the Gemara quotes it. Okay, very, very interesting attitude the Gemara has towards Sefer Ben Sira. Meaning, on one hand, it's not part of Tanakh, it didn't make it in. On the other hand, the Gemara, when sometimes wanting to expound a point, so it will quote it. So it has a somewhat complicated relationship with the Sefer. But anyway, over here, using it to make a point, and that is b'mufla mimcha al tijosh v'mechusa mimcha al tachkor b'amesha rishese hatfuna in lecha esek b'nistaros. So anything that's hidden revealed, so we're not allowed to go there. Meaning anything beyond the limits and beyond the scope of that which we just outlined, so you're not allowed to go there. You're not allowed to learn it. Tanya, one last point regarding Maisa Bereishis. Amar Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai Machuva Heshivusa Baskol Laosa Rasha. So what was the response of the Baskol to that Rasha? That Rasha over here is a reference to Nebuchadnezzar. Bishasha Amar. Now Nebuchadnezzar said Elal Bamseav Adma Le'elyon. So I'm going to go up and I'm going to fight with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. So Nebuchadnezzar not only wanted to rule the world, but he wanted to conquer the Shamayim, including HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay. So now the Baskol said Yatsa Baskol Ve'Amra Lo. And the Baskol came out and said Rasha ben Rasha ben Menoshel Nimrod Rasha. So you're Russia, the child of Russia, you're a descendant of Nimrod. Tosfos points out over here, he wasn't genealogically from Nimrod, but ideologically he was from Nimrod. And Shehimrod kol ha'olam kulo Allah b'machuso. And he led a rebellion against the Kadosh Baruch Hu. So not only was he world leader, but he also was a real Sonei Hashem. So kam shnosof shal adam. So this is now the Baskol in response to Nebuchadnezzar. So you tell me, the years of a person shall adam shivim shana, so it's 70 years. Shenema yemeshna sinabem shivim shana v'im gvur shmonim shana. Now, parenthetically, by the way, Tosfos points out over here, Nebuchadnezzar lived for more than 70 years. It just simply means that the average lifespan is 70 years, maybe 80 years. So the v'halom in haaretz al rakia mahalech chamesh meo shana. So now, just to get from Aretz up to the first rakia, so that is as long as it would take a person to walk 500. How long it would take to walk within 500 years. Okay? A 500-year walk. V'ovav shel rakia, now that's just to get to rakia. Now, in terms of the thickness, mahalech chamesh meo shana. So that's going to be now another 500-year walk. So, as I pointed out earlier today, here's the Gemara that gives us actual linear distances between Aretz and up to the first rakia, then the actual distance of the rakia itself, and now we're just going to keep going up. That is going to give us how many? So that's going to get, that's seven rakias, and there are going to be, I'm tempted to say seven, but the Gemara, it's really, whatever. It could be counted as eight. Anyway, without getting lost in numbers. So basically now, to climb all the way up, so that would be, if you were walking, and in other words, and yes, we're talking about walking upward, upbound, but if you were walking, that would be the time that it would walk, 500 plus another 500 plus another 500, again, just to get to Rakia, get through the Rakia, and that would be true for all of the Rakias. Yeah, you're right. And now, and then remember, now you're getting up, now you're at level 7, and by level 7, you're at the Chayos HaKodesh. Now, the Chayos HaKodesh, so Ragli HaChayos Keneged Kulam. Now, as far as the regal of the Chayos HaKodesh, so its length is Keneged Kulam. It's going to be corresponding to all of them, meaning you'll take the sum total of everything below it, and that's going to be the legs of the Chayos HaKodesh. Presumably, it's 7,500 years of walking. Again, these numbers over here are just indicating that there is a certain span. But again, not to be understood literally, but you understand. In other words, it's a level. It's a and over here by the Chayos HaKodesh, it's a significant level. And Karsula Chayos Keneged Kulan, and now you get to the ankles of the Chayos, and that's another, let's call it 7,500. I'm not sure about my numbers, but I get the basic point of the Gemara. And Shoke Chayos Keneged Kulam, and now we're up to the legs of the Chayos, another 7,500. Rechuve Chayos Keneged Kulam, and presumably the thighs, and the yarche echaz keneged kulam. Now the yarchim are really the thighs. Okay, so it seems like the rechuve are probably the knees. Anyway, gufe echaz keneged kulam, and then we get to the torso, and savari echaz keneged kulam, the neck, rashe echaz keneged kulam, the head, and karne echaz keneged kulam, the horns of the chayos, lamalamam kisei hakavod, and above them is the kisei hakavod. Ragla kisei hakavod keneged kulam, the legs are that distance as well, and kisei hakavod keneged kulam, and the actual kisei hakavod is that length as well. So basically, we get the basic point. So you, I was going to say Achashverosh. Okay. Anyway, so you, Nebuchadnezzar, so you want to go up and do battle with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. So in your 70, 80 year lifespan, so you're not even making it to the first Rakia. And meanwhile, right, do you know the distance that we're talking about? And obviously, it's a significant distance. So much greater than 70 and 80. So Melech Kalchai v'kaim ramni so shuchin alem v'ata marte Allah b'amseh av adma l'alyon. So here's what you're going to do. Instead of going up, you're going to go in the other direction. El Sheol Torad al Yarkas Ebor. You're going to go down to Sheol. Sheol synonymous with Gehenim. Okay. The Adkan, that's the end of the Braisa. And again, it just gives us a perspective of what we're talking about in terms of Shamayim and distances, but not to be understood literally.
Okay.
What they were communicating to us is certainly an idea. I don't know if I'm really, in other words, how they understood it was much more than the way I understand it. But they're just giving us numbers in order to just give us a framework and a structure. But the numbers are significant, and I don't know what the significance of those numbers are. I will give you, however, something really interesting, and that is Tosfos over here, the third Tosfos on our Amud. Tosus writes over here that there are certain piyutim that were said over the course of the years. What happened to the piyutim? So a couple of them are still within our sidurim, but the vast majority. I'm speaking here about the Ashkenazim, the Balei Tosus. So the but as far as the vast number of the piyutim, so they're gone. We just simply don't say them anymore. Okay, so but over here he cites a piyut that was said by Rabbi Lazar Kalir, who I know. Takes his piyutim for Tisha B'Av still we say and still has a place in our liturgy, but the other piyutim no. Anyway, he's describing a piyut that was written by Rav Elazar Kalir. Here's the exciting part about Tosfos over here, and that is the identity of Rav Elazar Kalir. So who was he and when did he live? So it's really interesting because there's a major debate in terms of when exactly he lived, and the span in which we're debating is unbelievable. Whereas Tosfos over here writes clearly at the end of this Tosfos that Rav Elazar Kalir is none other than Rav Elazar Rabbi Shimon. That means he's read the Rav Elazar Rabbi Shimon, the son of the Rashbi, Rav Shimon Bar Yochai's son.
He was a Tana.
So Tosfos is of the opinion that he was a Tana. Okay. And he has other sources that suggest so as well. He also writes in the Tosfos that in general, he favors the Yerushalmi over that of the Bavli. But he's a Tana. That's Tosfos' position. Others have Rav Elazar Kalir living sometime in the beginning of the period of the Rishonim. Okay, that's about 800 to 900 year discrepancy in terms of when did he live. It is a fascinating discussion, a fascinating debate. Anyway, so because of a piyut that was authored by Rav Elazar Kalir, so Tosfos over here. And Tosfos a couple places in Shas, but Tosfos over here in Ardaf and Chagiga Yud Gimel is clearly of the position that he was a Tana. Okay, anyway, that's an interesting point from today's Daf. Veloba Merkava Biyachin. Okay, and now we're up to Merkava. Good. Yeah, it's fascinating. We're up to Maisa Merkava now in discussing Maisa Merkava. So first of all, what is Maisa Merkava? Okay, so what it is it's the first parak of Yechezkel. The truth of the matter is that it's a description of a Kadosh Baruch Hu's chariot, and it is primarily the first parak of Sefer Yechezkel, and as we're going to see in the Gemara, we can even further pinpoint it. It's not even the first parak of Sefer Yechezkel. It's the last two psukim of the first parak of Sefer Yechezkel. I encourage you, please take a look at it, read it inside. I'll speak for myself. I'll read the words. I'm going to even struggle translating the words, but in other words, what the Gemara here is describing on Maisa Merkava, so there are obviously encrypted secrets within the Psukim that give us a better understanding of what? I'm going to show you Rashi in just a minute. Rashi over here is fascinating. Anyway, so that is Maaseh Merkava. Now, it's not only in Sefer Yecheskel, it's also Sefer Yeshayahu as well. And the Gemara is going to note this later in today's daf. We're going to get to it shortly. In Sefer Yeshayahu, in the sixth parak of Yeshayahu, also there is a description. Now, you and I are more familiar with the sixth parak of Yeshayahu. Well, first of all, let's go back to the first parak of Yecheskel. So we're familiar with the first parak of Yecheskel because we are reading it as Daf Torah every single year. And that, of course, is the first day of Shavuos. So the first day of Shavuos, when everyone is good and sleep deprived, so we have, and I would even suggest by design, although that's, you know, I may be saying too much, but we are reading from the first parak of Sefer Yecheskel, so we're familiar with it, in which is a description of Merkava, of the chariot of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, so when the Gemara is talking about teaching Maaseh Merkava, it means not just reading the psukim and translating the psukim. That I'll do. So, but it means though that there are encrypted secrets within it to gain better understanding. That's Maaseh Merkava. As I pointed out, also in Yeshayahu, in the sixth parak of Yeshayahu, so there also is going to be a description. The sixth parak in Yeshayahu is not going to be as descriptive and as detailed as the first parak of Yecheskel. The Gemara is going to comment on that later as well. Okay, good. A lot of good points to go over for today. V'lobe Merkava biyachid. Okay, so when I'm teaching Maaseh Merkava, and I say I don't mean me, but when one is teaching Maaseh Merkava, so you can't have a classroom size of one. Okay, which is funny, as I point out in the beginning of today's daf. So that means to say that nobody's going to be there as you're teaching Maaseh Merkava. Now, that's funny, and that, of course, is impossible to understand. What does that mean? Right? In other words, no one's there. So then, who are you imparting information to? So, Tani Rabbi Chiya. So, that's going to become clear as we go through the Gemara. So, Rabbi Chiya teaches Ava Mosrim La Roshei Prakim. So, what you're going to do is you're going to give him Roshei Prakim. So, that means to say that, look, to teach it to them explicitly, right? A, B, C, Aleph, Beis, Gimel, and go through the details that you cannot do under any circumstances, not even to one student. However, Rashi Prakim, if you're just going to give them the header, the footer, the outline, some starting point, and then allow them to figure it out on their own, so that's fine. We were deliberating earlier this morning, so how do you know? In other words, if you're not giving it to them straight and you're only giving them something to work with and they're going to figure it out on their own, how do you know? How does he know that he got it right? Okay, so again, all this is so beyond my understanding, so I'm not sure, but at least we were deliberating that point. So I'm Rabbi Zerin Mosna Rosh Prokim Elala Basin Ulachomish Libodoig Bikirbal. So who could be a candidate for teaching Maaseh Merkava to? So either Av Basin or somebody is Misha Libodoig Bikirbal. Somebody who is right somebody who's worried, meaning a serious person, somebody who's not going to be silly or frivolous with this information. And now in another version, meaning it's an Av Basin, and on top of that, he's got to be somebody who is like a very serious person. You would think the Av Basin and Mishali Badog Bikerbo was one and the same person, but anyway. In order to impart to somebody the Sisrei Torah, so that person's got to have five things. Number one, Sar Chamishim. Right. I'll simply right now translate it as leadership qualities. Vinasopanim, somebody who let's call him intuitive. Yoetz, somebody who is able to give etza. Chacham Charashim, smart, and Navon Lachash, and somebody who's able to understand. I know these expressions seem to be synonymous with one another. The basic point of the Gemara is that in order to be a candidate, you have to have these features. V'amar Rabbi Ami and Moshe Devar Torah Lo V'Kochavim. On top of that, in general, you're not allowed to teach Torah to a non-Jew. Shenemar Lo Asachin L'Chol Goyim Mishpatim Bal Yidda'um. Okay, very very big topic. Just we're gonna go on. The Gemara just brings it up over here because, in other words, the limits of what you can teach to whom. So in terms of Sisrei Torah, so we learned about the limits, and in terms about Torah to non-Jew in general, so there the limit is very simple. You're not allowed to teach him Torah. Amalei Rabbi Yochanan le Rabbi Elazar Tag Merech b'Maaseh Merkava. So we are encountering a couple of anecdotes, a couple of stories. Number one, Rav Yochanan says to Rav Elazar, okay, now you're ready. Let me teach you Maisa Merkava, Amar Lelo Kashai. So Rav Elazar's response is, I'm not old enough. So, and Rashi writes over here, Lo zekanti ubeinan libo doeg. So as you get older, so you get more serious and you know, there's more gravity to everything. And so Rav Elazar's response to Rav Yochanan, I'm not there yet. Right? I may know Torah, but I just simply don't have the experience of life and the age and the seriousness in which I'm going to be able to take it seriously enough. Presumably it's a student. Meaning Rav Elazar we know is a Talmud of Yochanan. And I don't think it's a son. I could be wrong. Kikash nach nafshei. So now, when Rav Elazar was old enough, so Rav Yochanan already passed away. Okay, and perfect. This is exactly how life works. Okay, timing becomes an issue. So Rav Asi, who was another student of Rav Yochanan, who was already imparted Maisa Merkava, so Rav Asi says to Rav Elazar, okay, good. So you missed the opportunity with Rav Yochanan. He didn't teach you. I'll teach you. So Amalei Yizakai Gemirte Me Rav Yochanan Rabech. But Rav Elazar declined. And he said, no. He said, look, if I were Zocha, I would have learned it from Rav Yochanan. The fact that I didn't learn it from Rav Yochanan, so that tells me that I just simply, it's not Ratzon HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that I should be learning Maisa Merkava. Rav Yosef Avagamra Maisa Merkava. Rav Yosef, in fact, learned Maisa Merkava. Sabe de Pumbedisa have a ton of Maisa Bracious. And the elders of Pumbedisa, so they knew Maisa Bracious. Oh. So each one of them had a different discipline that they knew. So Amrule, so they said to him, Ligmarlan Mar Maisa Merkava. Amrlo and Ligmarlan Maisa Bracious. Okay, good. So let's share disciplines. You teach me Maisa Merkava, and I'll teach you Maisa Bracious. Good. Sounds like a reasonable deal. So Basa Dag Marun. So now they taught Rav Yosef Maisa Bracious. So Amrle Ligmar Mar Maisa Merkava. Okay, now time for you. So you have to teach us now Maisa Merkava. So Amrlo Tanina Bahu. So he says, look, I'm really sorry, but Dvash V'Chalav Tachas Hashanech, the pasuk in Shira Shirim, that the honey and the milk has to be under your tongue. And dvarim amasukim midvash v'chalav yetachas l'shanech. Something sweeter than honey and milk, meaning the maisa merkava. So that you should, where should you keep it? You should keep it under your tongue. Okay. And Rabbi Abao Amar Mehacha. Rabbi Abao says he cite another pasuk. Kvasim levushech or kvasim levushech. And dvarim shem kivshono shalolam yetachas levushech. Keep it under wraps. Right. Like the expression here. So, okay. So Amrulei Tanin Bahu Advayom Raylai Ben Adam. Okay, so I know. By the way, I'm anticipating the question. I don't have an answer to the question. If Rav Yosef knew that he can't teach it, why did he agree to it to begin with? I don't have an answer. I don't know why. In other words, it seemingly he should have said it on the front end. Look, you could teach me Maisa Bracious. I can't share with you Maisa Merkava. So, but why only after he learned Maisa Bracious did he offer this up this information? I'm anticipating the question. I don't have a response. Anyway, Amrule, so they said to him as follows. Now again, the Sabbat de Pumpadisa, so they're asking Rav Yosef to teach Maisa Merkava. He declined to teach it to them. They said to him, Tanina Bahu, Arva Yomar Lai, Ben Adam. So they said, you know, we already learned a certain amount. And how much did they learn? They learned the entire first parak of Sefer Yechezkel. So Amrule, Hein Maisa Merkava. So Rav Yosef says back to them, well, that's Maisa Merkava, meaning that's it. You got it. Meisve. The Gemara challenges. Ad hechon Maisa Merkava. So what, up until what point is Maisa Merkava? Rabbi Omer. Ad ve'erei basra. Rabbi Yitzhak Amar. Ad ha'chashma. So as I pointed out, but here the Brisa is very clear. And that is Maisa Merkava is up until what point in time? So the Brisa turns to and points to the last couple of psukim of the first parak of Sefer Yechezkel. Amen pasuk chav zayin vayirei kein chashmal kemari esh beisla saviv mimare masnav ulamala etc. And then kemari hakeshes, the last pasuk of the first parak, kemari hakeshes asher yebanan etc. So those are the two psukim. So the Gemara's understanding of the brisa right now is that Maisa Merkava is up until that point in time, but seemingly the last two psukim, not necessarily. So the Gemara clarifies, no. And the era megamrinan. No, In fact, when it comes to the first parak of Yecheskel, from the first pasuk up until pasuk Chav Zayin, from the first pasuk up until Chav Zayin, so that's no problem whatsoever. That you could teach. Amikan ve'elech masrin rosh parakim. It's from that point going forward, meaning the last two pesukim of the first parak of Sefer Yecheskel, that's it. Now we're in territory where it's Rashi Prakim. You could just give them the headers. You can't fill in any details. And like we said earlier this morning, and if they understand on their own, fantastic. So Ikadarmi Adveira Masrin Rashi Prakim. So or another way to say over the Braisa is that up until Va'ira, so that you give Rashi Prakim, Mekan Ve'elech, Imuchacha Mevi Midato in Ilo Lo. Now in the second way to say it over, no. For the first part of the first parak of Sefer Yecheskel, so there that's where you do Rashi Prakim. Then when you get to the last two Psukim, you say nothing. Now, if given the information, he figures out the last two Psukim on his own, that's great. But you don't even, not even Rashi Prakim for the last two Psukim. Umi Darshinan Bechashmal. Okay. Now before we get on to the next, so what is one going to gain by learning Maisa Merkava? So look at Rashi. Rashi over here, right? Tein hein Maisa Merkava. Im adkan shanitam harbe shanitam. Right? This is now what Rav Yosef is saying to the Sabi Pumbadis. If that's what you learn plenty. Sheshnei mikraos halal, these two psukim, the last two psukim of the first parak of Yecheskel, shehein vayirei kenachashmal, and kamari hakeshes, that's pasuk chavzayin chavches, heim shehikpidu aleim chachamim miladorsham. It's those two psukim that the chachamim say, don't darshan those psukim. Shehein medabrim b'tzura shechina umarehu. Because that's what's going to give you tzura shechina umarehu. Okay, now. Right, that's a lot. Meaning, what is Rashi making reference to over here? Okay, I mean, it's pretty clear what Rashi's making reference to over here, but, okay, you understand now we're getting into territory that is for a limited number of people who can properly understand that, integrate that, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, Umi Darshinim Bechashmal. Okay, now, the idea over here is that we're going to be darshaning the parak. Now, when I say darshan, like we said earlier, it doesn't just simply mean read and translate. So there, I have an article, Tanakh, in front of me, so I could read and I can translate as well. So that's great. That's not what we're describing over here. We mean understanding it. So, umi darshinan b'chashmal. So are you allowed to be darshaning chashmal? Chashmal is a description over there at the end of that first parak. I understand. Those of you who speak Hebrew, chashmal is used to describe electricity. So, okay, so when they modernize the Hebrew language, so when they have this thing called electricity, which, right, whatever, we have electricians now working in our house. So a simple question, what is electricity? It's really hard. Meaning it's hard to put your finger on. So I don't know how, whatever. They came up with the word chashmal to describe it. Okay, but the word chashmal is described in the Navi Yecheskel is obviously not referring to electricity. You know, It definitely is something that hurts you, but it's not electricity. So umid arshinim bechashmal v'ahu yenuka d'darsh bechashmal v'nafkenur v'achalte. So the Gemara says, yeah, there was this young man. I know yenuka usually means child over here, but I'm going to assume it's a young man. So the young man who was darshining chashmal, and what happened was that the fire came and consumed him. So shani yenuka d'lav mati zamne. So the Gemara says, yeah, but he started learning this too early. So Am Rav Yehuda Bar Zachor Oso Ha'ish Latov VeChananya Ben Cheskel Shmo and Malehu Nignas Sefer Cheskel. So had it not been for Chananya Ben Cheskel, so they would have taken Sefer Cheskel and they put him in Geniza, and they certainly would not put it as one of the 24 books of Tanakh. Shayudvar Sosin Divrei Torah. There are a couple psukim in Sefer Cheskel that go against the Torah, seemingly go against the Torah. And Ma'asa Lulo Gimel Me'asgar B'Shem of Yashar Be'Aliyah V'Darshu. Now, hopefully this Gemara sounds familiar because we did this back in Shabbos and Daf Yud Gimel, and that is that he brought up 300 jugs of oil, and he spent a lot of time with Hasmada going over the Psukim and the ones that were problematic, and he explained each one of them so that Sefer Yecheskel could be understood correctly and properly. By the way, we're not even describing the beginning of Sefer Yecheskel over here, which we now know you can't darshan it, you're not allowed to darshan it. And again, we don't even have the ability, so we have less to worry about. But Psukim, for example, I'll give you one example. The Gemara in Shabbos gives this one as an example. So it says that the Kohanim don't eat Nevela, right? The Kohanim don't eat Nevela. Now, you read a pasuk like that, the Kohanim don't eat nevela. What about the rest of us? The rest of us are allowed to eat nevela? Okay, good. So that's a problematic pasuk in Yecheskel. And the Gemara over there goes on to explain exactly what that means. Good. So Sefer Yecheskel, obviously a big part of today's daf. So it was almost out of Tanakh and reinstated by Hananya ben Chizkiah. Tanu Rabbanu Maisa b'tino kechash haya kori b'beis Rabba b'sefer Yecheskel. So v'haya meivim b'chashmal v'yatzayish m'chashmal v'sarfaso. So there was a Tinok Echad that was reading in the Rebbe's study, and he was reading Sefer Yecheskel, and he got to Chashmal, he understood it. And again, Yatzayish mechashmal v'sarfaso, and he was consumed by a fire. Ubikshu ligno Sefer Yecheskel. So once again, so there was another movement that basically we should take Sefer Yecheskel and we put in Geniza. Amar lahem, now in terms of the Girsa over here, I'll go with our Girsa, but the Bach I know has a different Girsa. But anyway, Amar lahem Hananya ben Chizkiah im zechacham, whichever Girsa you have, the point is going to be the same. That kid was an outlier. And I say kid, by the way, probably I mean a young man. He was an outlier. He's not representative of the norm. The general masses of Jewish people are going to be reading Sefer Yecheskel, they're going to be reading the end of the first parak, and they're not going to be burnt by fire. They're not going to have the proper understanding. Generally speaking, there's nothing to worry about over here. Okay, so you have these outliers. You're not going to legislate based on outliers. Okay. My chashmal. I know it's too funny, by the way. After the Gemara has gave us repeated warnings of don't delve and don't expound and don't darish, the Gemara's next question, as we're on the very bottom of Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, is my chashmal. Oh, by the way, what does the word mean? But whatever the Gemara is going to be sharing with us is not the drushes of Maisa Merkava. I could say that confidently. I don't know what it is, but I know what it's not. Okay, so we're just simply expanding over here the word chashmal. So my chashmal amar of Yehuda, as we turn to the Amud Beis, so chayos eish mimalilos. Chashmal is an acronym of chayos eish, right? Literally chayos means wild animals, but in this context it's a form of a malach. It's a type of a malach, right? Malach made up of fire that are speaking. And that's the chashmal is a contraction of those words, right? Chayos eish, that's the ches, the shin, and the memlamed is the malalos. B'masis Santana in a brisa. A little bit more description. And that is itim chashos, itim mamalos. Sometimes they're quiet, sometimes they speak. B'shasha diber yotze mi pi kadosh baruch hu chashos, v'shasha in a diber yotze mi pi kadosh baruch hu mamalos. When a kadosh baruch hu is speaking, they're quiet. When a kadosh baruch hu is quiet, they're speaking. Okay, a couple of psukim here in Sefer Yecheskel in the first parak. V'achayos ratzov v'shov kemar'ei habezek. So these chayos, these forms of malachim, so they are basically flaring, going out, coming back in again. So my ratzov v'shov amar Rabbi Yehuda kor yotze mipi akivshan. Okay, so it's like fire coming out of the furnace. In other words, flares. And my kemar'ei habezek amar Rabbi Yosi bar Chanina kor yotze miben charasim. Right, if you ever see the blacksmiths working, so what they're going to do, this is everything I'm saying right now is Rashi. I'm just paraphrasing Rashi. So what they're going to do is they're going to take a kli cheres, put a couple of holes in it, put it over the fire, and now in through the cracks of that kli cheres, you're going to have concentrated fire flaring through those cracks, so that when they want to take their gold and melt their gold down or work with any particular metal, so now they'll have basically it's an old fashioned blowtorch. So that's what the Navi is describing over here. Ve'erev hine ruach sa'ara ba'a min atzafon. Anan gadol ve'esh matzlakachas v'noga lo saviv. U'mitvache ke'en ha'chashma mitoch ha'esh. Okay, so again, more psukim here in the first parak of Yecheskel. So lehechan azal. So over here we're describing the Shechina headed northbound. What's going on over here? So, and as Rashi points out, the pasuk in the beginning of Yirmiyahu, mitzafon tipatach ha'ra'a. Right, the evil comes from the north. So, what's the Kadosh Baruch Hu doing up there? So, that's the Gemara's question. Am Rav Yehuda, Am Rav Shalach Lichvoshes Kolam Kulo Tachet Nevuchadnezzar Russia. So, what the Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to do is he's going to support the campaign, the military campaign of Nevuchadnezzar. V'kolkach Lama Shalom Yomer Omos Olam Biyadu Mashvela Masar Kadosh Baruch Hu's Banav, because Nevuchadnezzar is going to destroy the Beis Hamikdash, and the Kadosh Baruch Hu does not want some sort of lightweight to destroy the Beis Hamikdash. So, in other words, basically, he's going to have to back Nevuchadnezzar so that he becomes world dominant, so that somebody at least worthy is going to destroy the base of Mikdash. Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu migarm li shayya shamash lov de psilim. So now Kadosh Baruch Hu is basically bemoaning a situation. Here I am now, and I got to support this this Ovid of Avodah Zarah, see the Amud Aleph of today's daf, right? The Nebuchadnezzar, and in terms of how much of a Sonny Hashem he was. And here I am, I have to support him, but, in other words, but I have to destroy the base of Mikdash. Why? So Avon Hashem, Shani Yisrael, Hain Garmuli. Because of the Jewish people, and they're sinning. So in other words, that's it. I have to destroy the base of Mikdash. Okay, again, more description over here, the first paragraph of Sefer Yechezkel. And I saw the Erei HaChayos. And there was one, Ofan. Again, Ofan is a type of Malach. And Eitzel HaChayos. Amar Avelazer Malach Echad Shu Omed Ba'aretz Ve'Rosho Megiel Eitzel HaChayos. So there happens to be one Malach who was really long. And his foot was on the ground and his head was able to reach the Chayos. And as we learned in the Amud Aleph of today, that's a significant distance. But again, distance over here is not to be taken literally, but regardless. The point is that, at least to our understanding, that's far. Be'masis Antana Sandalf on Shmo, the Gemara gives him a name. Ha'gavo mi'chavero ma'halach ha'mesh me'oshana. Ve'omen acharei ha'merkava. And so he's standing behind the Merkava, v'koshek sarin l'kono, and he's tying crowns for his creator. Ini, the Gemara says, v'aksiv baruch kvod Hashem mi'mekomo. Meanwhile, he makes a crown for his creator, but even the malachim do not know where the makam is. Baruch kavod Hashem mimekamo. So, okay, meaning wherever his makam may be, we don't know where his makam is. Mechlal de mekamo like a diadale. So how are you making a crown and delivering it when meanwhile you don't know where to go? Da'amar shame ataga v'azav yasib bereshe. So basically, I know it's going to sound funny, but it's a good way to describe it. So it's a self-driving crown. Okay, by enunciating a shame, by employing some sort of mechanism, right, if you will, a program, if you will, and now the tag is going to know where to go. Amar Rav Kosher Rai Yecheskel Rai Yishayahu. Okay, as I mentioned earlier this morning, here's the Gemara contrasting that this vision of the Merkava was seen by Yecheskel, was seen by Yishayahu. In Yecheskel, first parak of Yecheskel, a little bit of the second parak as well, and a lot of description. In Yishayahu, sixth parak, take a look at it. I just flipped through it. Much shorter. And the Gemara now is going to contrast. So, Lama Yecheskel Doma Leben Kfar Sheraz HaMelech, Lama Yishayahu Doma Leben Krach Sheraz HaMelech. So if you have somebody who is a real out-of-towner, okay, and they saw the king, it is the most exciting thing in the world. They're going to be very descriptive. That's Yecheskel. And then you have somebody who lives in the city, so to him to see the king, okay, less of a big deal. That's Yishayahu. Amri Shlakish Maidichsev Ashir Lashem Gigoga. Shira Lamisha Mitgal Ageim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu exalts himself over the exalted. Amar Mar Melech Shebechayos Ari. So the king of the Chayos is the lion. And Arisha, I'm sorry, Melech Shebehemos, sure. That's by the wild animals. By the domesticated animals, it's the ox. Melech Shebeofos Nesher. And that by the Ophos is a Nesher. We translate it as an eagle. It's probably not an eagle, but regardless, it's probably a hawk. Anyway, Va'adam Mitgal Aleihem. And now man is on top of them. V'akash baruch mitgal kulam. And akash baruch exalts over all. V'akol olam kulam kasav echad amer. Udemus paneim. Now, as far as the images are concerned that are carved onto the kisei hakavod. So here we're describing in Sefer Yecheskel. Panei adam, panei aryeh, al hayamim la'arbasim, panei shor me'asmo la'arbasim, uksiv. So we now have in Yecheskel's description. So man, aryeh, shor, Exiv, and meanwhile, another pasuk in a later parak in Sefer Yecheskel, the arba panim leechad pnei echad pnei krov pnei sheni pnei adam v'shlishi pnei aryeh v'rivi pnei nesher v'ilu shor lo kachashiv. So you get to the 10th parak of Sefer Yecheskel with a review of the Merkava and what and the images that were engraved on it. So the shor conspicuously absent after having stated in the first parak that the shor is there, the shor is gone. Amri Shakish Yecheskel, Bikei Shalav Rachamim, V'Havchu L'Chruv. So what Yishayahu did, what Yecheskel did, is that he asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu for Rachmanus, that the shore be removed. Why? Amar Lefanu Ribon Shalom, Kategor Yasa Sanegor, because it reminds HaKadosh Baruch Hu of Cheta Egel, and let's not. And so let's take the shore off. HaKadosh Baruch Hu complied, took the shore off and replaced it with the Kruv. Now my Kruv, and now we say Kruv, that's an image of what? So Amar Rabbi Abba, Kravya, Kir Ravya. So it's a young person. She came to Bavel, currently Yenuka Ravya in Bavel. So with the children, they would call a Ravya. Amalei Rav Papala Bayel Amiata Dichzei Pnei Achad Pnei Kruv Pnei Hashani Pnei Adam Vashishi Pnei Aryeh Varevi Pnei Nesher. So I understand images 3 and 4, two different animals. Images 1 and 2, that's a human and a human. So Hainu Pnei Kruv, Hainu Pnei Adam. So the Gemara's answer, Ape Rav Ravei Va'afrei Va'ape Zutre. The Gemara's answer is very simple, and that is that an older man, a younger man. In other words, yes, they're both images of humans, but at different stages of their lives. Kas of Echad Omer, we'll do a little bit more for this morning. Sheish Kanafayim Le'echad. So in Yeshayahu, we're describing now the Malachim having 6 wings. The Kas of Echad Omer, the Arba Panim La'achas, V'Arba Kanafim La'achas. In Yecheskel, again, the contrast over here between Yeshayahu and Yecheskel. So in Yecheskel, it is described as 4 wings. So Lam Lokasha Kam is mentioned, Beis HaMikdash Kayim Kam is mentioned, and Beis HaMikdash Kayim. So when the Beis HaMikdash was around, they had 6 wings. After Chorban, 4 wings. Kaviyachos Shinismatu Kanfei Achayos. So as if we could say it, so the wings diminished, going from 6 to 4. So Haiminayu Imit, which wings left? Amarav Chanano. Amarav Osan Sheomro Shiras Bahem. The ones that they're able to use in order to say Shira. Kasav Echad V'Shayim Yofei V'Kar Zeh Ozeh V'Amar. Uksiv Hitif Einechabo V'Einenu. So one pasuk describes that they were Karazel Zevi Amar, meaning they called each other. In other words, Shira. Another pasuk says that they're not there. V'Rabbanan Amri Osam Shemechasus Ben Raglehem. Now, in another viewpoint, so the 2 wings that were gone were the wings that covered their legs. Shenemer V'Raglehem Regel Yishara. The pasuk in Yecheskel describes that the legs of the Malachim were Regel Yishara, straight leg. So V'Ilav Di Imot Menahaviyada. Now, usually the wings that were covering legs, how do we know what their legs look like? It must be that the wings are gone. So Dilma di Glai v'chaz yolei, the Gemara says, I don't know if that's a compelling argument. Can't you say that they had the wings? But the wings at one point in time were revealed, meaning they just simply exposed their legs. Dilo te mahachi, udmus penem penei adam, hachinam midi imot. So the Gemara says, now what do you want to tell me? That we know what their face looks like? So Ella di Glai v'chaz yolei. So it means that they had the wings covering their face, but sometimes they exposed it. So hachinami di iglai v'chazilei. So maybe over here, maybe we can make the same argument, meaning the wings that were covering the legs. Maybe the wings are still there. It just happens to be that once in a while they expose their legs. So the Gemara says hachi ashta bishlam apia orechar ligluye kame rabe kare lav orechar ligluye kame rabe. So the Gemara says no. It's just simply lav orechar. It's not derechar. It's not what we'll call tznius. But again, we're talking about malachim over here. I'll go back to Derech Eretz. It's not Derech Eretz for them to cover their legs. It is Derech Eretz for them to uncover their... Sorry. It is not Derech Eretz for them to uncover their legs. It is Derech Eretz for them to uncover their face. So therefore, the only way that we know what their legs look like is because the wings covering their legs were removed. Okay. That's the Gemara's conclusion. We will pause over here. Okay. Let's quickly give a recap of today. We discussed at the beginning of today's daf, at the bottom of Yud Beis Amud Beis, a description of the Zayin Rekiah. And really our focus this morning started with the 7th Rekiah. Yesterday's daf, we went through all 7. Here, we basically topped off what's on level number 7. We spoke about the various malachim that are there, the Kisei HaKavod that's there. We noted that that's the limit, meaning when discussing Maaseh Breishis, so you cannot go on to describe anything beyond that point in time. There was some sort of ice cap on the top that we described earlier this morning. But anyway, that's it. That's our limit. And so when discussing Maaseh Breishis, you cannot go beyond that point in time. Anything above that is now chutz. That's beyond the limit. You cannot explore it. You cannot discuss it, et cetera, et cetera. Then on the Amud Aleph of today's daf, just a little bit more regarding Maaseh Breishis. We talked about the distance. I know the Gemara gives us an actual linear measurement, probably not to be understood literally, but a linear measurement separating Aretz to the first Rekiah, the length through the first Rekiah, all the way up to the 7th Rekiah. With that stated, so now we have an idea, and based on that, so the Gemara noted that Nebuchadnezzar, who wanted to do a battle with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, so an average person living 70 to 80 years couldn't even make it to the first Rekiah, even if he tried. Okay. Maaseh Merkava. The remainder of today's daf dealt with Maaseh Merkava. So first of all, you can't teach it to somebody. So then how are you teaching if you can't teach it to somebody? The answer is Rashi Prakim. You're just giving them headlines. And on top of that, only somebody who's worthy. On the Amud Aleph today, we spent a little bit of time talking about what kind of resume you need to have in order to be a prospective student to learn Ma'aseh Merkava. We learned what is Ma'aseh Merkava, meaning what exactly we're talking about, the first parak of Yechezkel, and more specifically, the last two psukim of that first parak. What is it going to give us a window into? I cited the Rashi today on the Amud Aleph, and various stories about some people learning Ma'aseh Merkava, and unfortunately, to their demise. They were not ready and prepared to learn Ma'aseh Merkava. Some really interesting stories about Amoraim who just simply declined the offer of learning Ma'aseh Merkava, Rav Elazar on the Amud Aleph. Also, Rav Yosef declined in teaching Ma'aseh Merkava to the Sabbat de Pumbedisa. And then on the Amud Beis of today's daf, we went through a number of psukim in the first parak of Sefer Yechezkel. And like I said earlier, just to review, when the Gemara is giving us now these various points about the first parak, it's not Ma'aseh Merkava. Meaning Ma'aseh Merkava, Sisrei HaTorah, the secrets of the Torah. I'm not privy to them, and probably will not be privy to them. Okay, I know, don't sell myself short, but I'll say it with some confidence. But nevertheless, when the Gemara is doing over here, is the Gemara is giving us some really superficial, rudimentary understanding of the psukim and what they mean. But obviously, it's not Ma'aseh Merkava. We'll stop over here.